Welcome back to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to do the big little noise you make at the start of yours. I've got an incredible person on my podcast today. I had the pleasure of being on his last week. Amrit Sandhu, please correct me if I got that pronunciation wrong. Life, leadership, career coach. But that I don't think that name does you justice because there's so much depth to what you do, who you are, and the impact you're making, and yeah, just the value that you have and the work you've done on yourself. We're going to be diving deep today, guys. So please turn your intuition up, open that heart, and be open minded because we're probably going to dive a bit deep into some topics today. But Amrit, thank you for joining me, man. How are you today?
Brother, it is such a pleasure to be here, especially after our conversation on my podcast last week. I literally felt like I was I don't want to say interviewing myself, but yeah. There is so much kindredness in what we're up to in the world. So it's an absolute honor to be on the other side of the mic, and part of me is a little bit intimidated just because I know you know your stuff so well that I'm sure we're gonna dive into some really cool rabbit holes today.
Man, but
I'm
excited for it. Let's go head first. There's just to plug some things straight away. Amrit has an incredible podcast and he's got some epic guests. I was really inspired looking through them. I'm like, holy shit, I want some of these people on my podcast. Name of the podcast is Inspired Evolution. It's definitely on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, I'm sure in Spotify as well. So guys, please go dive into that. If you just give us the elevator pitch on yourself, just so people have a little bit more context, because again, I don't believe your title does the justice that you do actually do for people. So what's kind of your elevator pitch on yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So pretty much what I do is I do coaching, podcasting, YouTubing, and speaking. And all of that is around to help people live a life that is more meaningful, help them live their purpose. And the reason I give a crap about purpose is just through my own story and my own journey, I've come to find that purpose is the center point around which positive mental health blossoms. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell, and we can dive deep into why those different vehicles, podcasting, coaching, et cetera, and why that message, purpose is at the heart of positive mental health. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot in there, and that's pretty much what I'm up to in the world.
Let's dive into it, man. Let's start with purpose. The first notes from the research I did on yourself, the word curiosity and purpose, and they definitely intertwine. Intuition comes into mind as well with that conversation. I'd like to actually share maybe my short perspective on it and then have you share yours and even challenge mine and go into it. But I believe that we're always drawn, like the universe is leaving you breadcrumbs, but sometimes we don't fucking listen to it.
Sometimes. Sorry.
A lot of the time. And it's like, I believe we're always getting pulled or shown the breadcrumbs to lead us towards our true purpose and our true meaning and our true gift. And then it's just listening to it. So I'd love to know your thoughts on purpose. I guess what purpose is to you? How does one come to find theirs? How does one, just demystify? I think the word can be kind of thrown around a little bit. It's like all fluffy bullshit or whatever. So yeah, what's your view on purpose and how can one be a little bit more intuitive to those breadcrumbs that are getting left for them?
Yeah, I love that question. So you mentioned the word curiosity and the breadcrumbs. And so one of the first places to start, and I know this is going to sound a bit nebulous, but if you just follow along from there, we'll get really grounded, is we are the universe looking in on itself, right? So as a fundamental tenet, that's just one of the things that when I first heard that, I was like, whoa, like it is so true, right? Like we have somehow folded in on ourselves and we're looking at ourselves in this miracle of consciousness, which is we're having an experience, right? You can exchange consciousness for experience. Yeah. Wherever there's an experience, there's consciousness. What the fuck? Like, why is that happening? How is that happening? But it's happening, right? And so if you start to try to decode that a little bit with my humble awareness, which is, you know, it's very humble, I will admit. I don't think we'll ever get to the answers of pure consciousness and what's going on in that space. Curiosity shows up as a fundamental tenet of the fabric of the universe, right? Because we are like, it's curious about itself. So it's folding in, it's looking in on itself. Why is the universe trying to look in on itself and experience itself through human beings, through plants, through animals, through everything? So when you land there, you start to realize, okay, curiosity is I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's something sacred. Your curiosities are unique to you. They're special to
I love that.
you, right? So you can't, and you know, I used to, this is going to be a bit of a trivial example, but I remember when I was dating, like back in high school, and I used to go out with when I took a girl out, the first thing I would try to do, like not the very first thing, but eventually I would try to make them laugh, right? And I'd sort of see if our humor aligned. Because if our humor aligned, then you know there was a potential match and fit. Because you can't really fake your humor, right? Like what you find funny is what you find funny. And if I crack a joke and you're just staring at me like that wasn't funny, and it's like, oh shit, this is gonna be hard work, right? And it's, you know, you can take that example and apply it to your life as well. Like you can't fake what you find, what you're curious about, right? So everybody has unique curiosity points. Like I don't really give a shit about hot rod cars, but one of my friends absolutely loves them. Yeah. And like service as a software systems, like one of my best friends is an incredible entrepreneur, right? And he's making millions, doing his thing. And he's absolutely, I watch him and I'm like, I'm enamored by how much success you have, touch wood. But at the same time, I don't share that curiosity for how software can serve people. I'm, you know, in the curiosity of how Amrit can be of service. So we all have our own unique curiosity points. Now, I run the risk of, you know, blowing this conversation up. So I'll try and keep it nice and succinct. When you've got 2 to 3 curiosity points, yeah, like you might have, let's just say for Amrit, it's, you know, spirituality and entrepreneurship and how to have positive conversations that help transform people, transformation. I've drawn a ring around that. So that's probably 4 data points of curiosity there. I'm curious about conversation and how it can transform people. I'm curious about how transformation happens. I'm curious about behavioral psychology. I'm curious about spirituality. I'm curious about entrepreneurship. I drew a ring around it and started doing more of it. So when you can collect 3 or more curiosities together, what you actually have is a passion. Yeah. And so I draw a ring around that and then I start cultivating a passion. Now, the key thing about cultivating passion when people go, okay, how do I start to spend more time with purpose? We haven't even gotten to the purpose conversation yet. It starts with passion. So your passion is for you. Yeah. And I'll fast track a little bit, but your purpose is for others. So what you do is cultivate your passion. And it's as lame sometimes, I say lame, but what it feels like is just calendaring in time to explore your curiosities. You're into bushwalking, nature hiking, like forest bathing, whatever, but you don't make time for it, right? It's one of your passions, but you don't do it. So it sometimes comes down to something as simple as calendaring in for a couple of hours a week or an hour a week or, you know, 15 minutes every other day. So you take time to cultivate your passions. That's the art of cultivation. So curiosity, collect them, collate them, and then cultivate them into your passion and let it fill up your own cup. Once it's filling up your own cup, similar to what the podcast was for me, I was curious around all these pieces. I built a podcast around there, touch wood. I wasn't conscious of this formula, by the way. It's come to me through the art of doing it. And I kept cultivating my passion, and I was enjoying these conversations. And, you know, I was just, you know, there's a lot of content that was coming my way and it was useful to somebody and it was useful to somebody else. And eventually someone in the audience reached out and said, "Will you coach me?" And I was like, "Coach you on what?" And then like, "These conversations you're having, have them with me." And I was like, "No, but people are informing me." And they're like, "Yeah, but I can tell that the line of questioning you're coming from, you could help me with some things." And I was like, imposter syndrome, totally in the way, but okay, I'll surrender. Let's see where this goes. And so I showed up and started serving as a coach and asking questions of people, similar to actually how I listen in the interviews. I listen in the coaching experience as well. And actually, listening has quite a transformative power. But again, I run the risk of digressing down the coaching and skills hole. But in there, I started to serve my passion, which was all this stuff that I'm learning on the podcast, learning to apply it to people's lives at the right time, at the right moment, inspiring their evolution as they're going. And for me, it's just who Amrit is and what he does, right? It's my service. It's called coaching because that's the container that the world can understand it in, right? And can actually purchase a service from me. But it's a conscious conversation. We dive super deep. Sometimes people are like, "We're both learning in these calls, and yet you're my coach." And I'm like, "Yeah, but we're pretty deep, aren't we?" And they're like, "This is nuts." I'm like, inside out right now. It's like, so am I. It's incredible as an experience. For me, anyway, touch wood. I know I'm biased, but therein lies the next step. So from curiosities, you get to passion through cultivation, and passion through service, you get to your purpose. So serving your passion to others is your purpose. So
I
it's all
love
about
that.
service. My second highest value is contribution for that exact reason. Just now that I've given you that frame, curiosity, passion, purpose, cultivation service. The key thing in there to recognize is most people, what they'll do is they'll find one point of curiosity, not the intersection of three. It's like, I love coffee. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to set up an import business.
Yeah.
Right? And they jump straight from curiosity all the way to purpose. And then when the going gets tough, they realize, oh, I don't have the gusto to actually see this through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where you wish you would have cultivated a bit more passion. It would have been nicer if you actually drew a ring around a few curiosity points and executed on it that way.
Yeah, man, I've never heard the passion. Your passion is like probably curiosity lead to passion, but then the service of your passion is your purpose. That's fucking cool. That's fucking cool. I like that. Just two kind of follow-up questions to that. One, how does one act upon it? Because I think we're talking before we click record. I think everyone, well, I truly believe that everyone has that intuition. I believe like what you said, we are all connected. We come from source. We return to source. We come from singularity. So it's like that gift is in everyone, but it's that kind of those layers of the ego and the self-sabotage, the limiting beliefs, the wounds, the traumas, it kind of holds us back and it dims our light. And it takes sometimes, I use my NLP trainer told me this. It's like the universe will send you pebbles. If you don't listen, you get boulders. If you don't listen, you get brick walls. And sometimes we need like the fucking massive brick wall. We need a bomb. We need something to like wake us the fuck up, right? So so people don't necessarily have to wait for the brick wall. They can listen to the pebbles, but actually act on it. What I think, obviously you can fill in the gaps. I remember from your story, you're working in construction or you're doing something. I remember your partner went away for a bit of a self-discovery journey. And then you kind of were starting to dig deep. You started to have those sort of groups of conscious conversation with friends but you started to act on it. That's kind of the main point that I'm getting to. Someone's listening right now, they're like, you know what? I'm working this job and I fucking hate it. I don't love it. I know I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about doing a YouTube channel. I'm thinking about fucking living in the mountains. I'm thinking about doing all this stuff, but I'm not doing it. For whatever reason. What would you say to those people to help them to actually take the first step and start to actually go down that path?
Yeah, there's so many places to start in that conversation. It's actually a really powerful and big and important conversation to have. The first thing to note, just straight out of the gate, so we can just sort of iron out most of the wrinkles in that sort of question that you've tapestried out, not that there's anything wrong with the question, is that when that question lands with you, what you've got to realize is when you're thinking about executing upon something, right? There's an important delineation between thinking and mentation, and we can get into that. Thinking is fresh thought. Mentation is recycled old thought. So when you're thinking the same old thought again and again and again, it's actually not thinking, but we label it as thinking, which is actually quite dangerous because you think you're thinking, but you're just mentating, right? Which is, I look at it as like mental self-flagellation a little bit. So pardon me for that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that because when you're having a fresh thought, that's inspired. That's awesome. You're actually spending bandwidth on something that's time worthy. But when you're mentating, what's actually happening is you're getting the dopamine hit of thinking like you're doing something, but you're actually not. You're not doing anything. You're just mentating on it. And how many times, oh yeah, I should start a podcast. 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 Oh, that would be my podcast name. Oh, that would be my podcast guest. Oh, that would be my podcast idea. Yeah. Turn around, look in the 3D, no podcast. I've been thinking about this for 3 months. I've been thinking about it for 6 months, but I've got all these ideas going. What's happening is you're getting the dopamine hits in your head, right? Now, this isn't sexy, but one of the biggest things that I have found, and look, I'm super trippy if you haven't already caught on to it by that by now. Like there's this whole, everything for me is somewhat spiritual. So the way I look at it is it's actually pretty trippy where ideas come from, right? Like you get given an idea. There's this story, Michael Jackson wakes up in the middle of the night, 3-4 a.m. Yeah. Wakes up and he calls up Tito and he's like, fireflies. I need to record a song about fireflies. And Tito's like, yeah, Michael, it's 4 a.m, write the song down, we'll record it in the morning, and you know, when we can go to the studio in the morning, we'll record it. He's like, no, I need to record it right now. Tito's like, what? He's like, if I don't record it, Prince will record it.
Wow.
And it's this real trippy opening to, you know, the idea that humans don't actually have their own thoughts. We're more like antennas tuning in to a field, right, of ideas that come through. Now, all of that to sort of say, when you've got an idea and it hits you, I believe taking pen to paper is actually pretty, like, it feels just like, oh yeah, I'm writing a list. You know, it's like, yep, it's not very sexy, I'm writing a list. But when it is inspired journaling, or it's coming through as a thought, you're actually taking something from the ether, something that is just like from that, who knows where ideas really come from.
Yeah.
And putting it now into 3D reality, it's ink on paper. Yeah, there's actually something alchemical that's just happened. Now, I know I'm super nerding out on like this, what Amrit, but that is an alchemical process, right? And what I believe, doesn't have to be what you believe, is that the universe then picks up on the fact that you're listening, you're paying attention to these ideas, and it sends you more of them, Now, what you'll find is, as long as you've written them down, I don't take much action as of that point, but I'll come back the next day and I'll be looking at my piece of paper and I'm like, oh shit, that's an action list, you know? And it's like everything, like how I set up the merch shop for the Inspired Evolution. It was like, oh yeah, blue hoodies, tribal print logo, you know, like energetic logo. And it was just like, oh, like this stuff just came through. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh, that's an action list. Okay, I can just set up a Shopify store around this. Yeah. And it's like, okay, cool. I can actually get my assistant to do this. This is super easy. All right, cool. So delegate, call, blah, 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 blah. This is what I need, da, 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 and you've got it, right? So now you start executing on that list, which was inspired, and you just start ticking things off. That's the place where I find most of the interesting stuff starts to happen for me. And it's super practical. It's super grounded, but I also know it's not the sexiest thing. Yeah. One of the things that's usually in the way is our fears. Yeah, the reason we don't take action is like we have all this self-judgment, all these limiting beliefs. Someone else is doing it better. You know, like I'll put my hand up, like watching the conversation around purpose and how important it is for me, and watching Jay Shetty having it in the world, like to such an incredible level. And it's like, holy shit, like, why do I even need to bother? Like Jay's having that conversation on my behalf with everybody. Maybe I should just stick to engineering and do something over there. Right? But the reality is that's what is always emanating through me. Like I'm always having that conversation, whether I like it or not. And this is another point, right? You actually can't turn your purpose off. I had a bit of an existential crisis when I was like, I'm a purpose coach, but people are actually always on purpose. Like you're a manifestation of the universe. You're a creation. You're absolutely perfect, even in your brokenness and your wholeness. And yet like you're here. And even when you're deeply like, I feel completely off purpose, that is such an amazing moment because you're literally recalibrating to purpose in that moment. That is your purpose at that moment. And I was like, so Amrit, what the do you even do as a purpose coach? Like everybody's always on purpose. What is your journey and process? And I've learned that I'm just a brother walking people by their side, you know, as a guide, as a coach on their journey. So the key thing in there, and this is where it starts to bleed into the values work that you and I know so well, is take a look around in your space. You'll find my space filled with books, filled with, you know, recording equipment, filled with like instruments. Those are things that I'm passionate about: music, devotional music, spirituality, entrepreneurship, how to set up an online business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are things that I'm curious about. Those are Amrit's curiosity points. Your space is filled with your curiosity points, right? And if you're not, people go, oh, my home's really bland. It's like, well, what are you YouTubing all the time? What are you following on Spotify? What are you like, who are the people that you're following on Instagram? What do you see in them that you're following? It's like, okay, all of a sudden it turns into like classical cars or classical literature. It's like, or like music. It could be anything, right? But you start to find what those curiosity points are. And again, this is what John DeMartini does when he goes, hey, like, what do you value? Take a look at around the people around you. What do they exhibit? What's in your space? And you start to audit that. So your purpose is always emanating through you. Yeah, it does take a moment to sort of slow down, listen. It's useful to identify the difference between fresh thinking and mentation and realize, okay, these are my inspired thoughts and they're coming through and they're fresh. I invite you to write some stuff down so you've got, you know, that process of the universe knows you're listening as you're taking action to it. And it will then continue to open the floodgates of information to download for you in that space around your purpose. But then also you've got to take some action and there will be some courage that's required from you in that space. Yeah. But courage only really dissolves, well, fear only really dissolves if you walk towards it with courage.
Yeah. Well, man, there's so much in there that I wrote down like five notes. So there's you something that this will probably sort of branch out into like five different conversations, this next question. So something that you sort of like the Michael Jackson story, I hadn't heard that story. And I've been sort of leaning into Gene Keys and going down that pathway
yeah,
now.
And, welcome.
I just saw a video. It was just like a short on Instagram or something, and it was around like the dreams that we have are just like dreams from the collective. It's like you can follow dreams around the world. Like say someone mm-hmm. has a dream in Australia, someone the next day might have the same dream in the US. It's like the same yeah. dream. It's just sort of downloading into, and that's what I thought the thoughts of like Michael Jackson. So on that, something that I'm, I guess, a good problem to have in the self-conscious development healing world is there's so many like modalities. There's so many ways of thinking. Like I've got a little stack of books behind me with the ones that have impacted me the most. And if I had to give one, it would be John DeMartini, whose name you just mentioned earlier. I'm actually doing his breakthrough experience next weekend again. So I'm excited to do that again. So, but I think like the Gene Keys, I just got sort of entered that world a couple of weeks ago. I've just started reading an Ayurveda book to understand Ayurveda because I hear Peter Crone talk about it all the time. So my question to you, what's been on your journey? Because you've done incredible study. I forget the gentleman that you did a meditation course with for a couple of years. Who was that?
Meditation course. So there was Eckhart Tolle that I got coached for Presence and Purpose. Yeah.
So Eckhart Tolle, like he's another, I haven't gone down his rabbit hole yet. He's like on the list of like all these things. So I think with all the amount of growth and spirituality, purpose work, healing, whatever you want to call it, what would be kind of the main pillars, if you want to call it pillars, or the main strategies or the main ways that you've been able to really upgrade you, whether it's values, whether it's the Gene Keys, whether it's breath work, whether it's a certain teacher that's really their style and their teachings have fucking blown your mind. What's been like the real, what ones have really moved the needle most for yourself?
Yeah. So that's a great question, by the way. And it's a huge question. So if I went through it chronologically, actually seeing a psychologist and getting diagnosed with depression when I did was a really useful exercise. That was very confronting for an adolescent young man. It's been a decade now, but since that happened, since that diagnosis, but it was quite confronting, but I learned a lot in that moment because that was the point where she offered me the opportunity that basically I could install a value. I didn't really have that languaging around then. I didn't really know what values were, but I knew that at that point that I was malleable as a character. I was malleable as an entity. Like there was, you know, Amrit wasn't just the person that he thought he was, right? And I'm just going to blow this conversation out for a quick sec. Four levels of consciousness, like life is happening to you is level one consciousness. Level two consciousness is life is happening by you. Level three is life is happening for you. And level four is life is happening as you. But in level one consciousness is where I was up until that point. Life was just happening to me and I was just a victim, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. It was just where I was at, you know? But in that moment, she was like, if you could just adopt this particular set of values, you will transform. And I was like, well, I can do that. Like, I can reprogram myself. So, you know, because oftentimes we look at this personal development space and it seems so like illustrious and you've got these speakers on stages. And it was literally me just sitting in a humble office with a psychologist and her just going, hey, like you can change. And it's why it's called the Inspired Evolution. You know, it's like, it's an ode to transformation, right? And in that moment, I was like, okay, I can transform. So that was huge just to realize that I can break through and I can actually live life by me, right? So the psychologist was really helpful to help me realize that I was malleable. From there, one of the biggest takeaways I got was mindfulness, meditation. That has been an absolute showstopper of a thing for me. Like the way I share this from stage, it reconstituted my life. It started with a simple breathing exercise, and I'd usually, like when we go on the journey of coaching people on mindful meditation, I just invite them into mindfulness first and then open up the world of meditation. They're two very different things. Yeah. Mindfulness is taking a moment to pause, have a look at how many tabs you've got open on your browser. Yeah. And if you've got the option, you can sort of close some down and then, well, I closed down some tabs, I've got more bandwidth. Meditation is defragging the hard drive. Yeah. So it's like you take some time, sit, and all this stuff comes up and you just watch it go out without judgment. And it's amazing because you literally defrag the hard drive. But they're two very different processes, really. But mindfulness can lead you into meditation. From there on that journey, Eckhart Tolle was an amazing mentor, but so was, if you are really keen, look into the book called The Illuminated Mind. I read that from front to back. It's a manual for meditation. It's an incredible book. But it's quite technical when it comes to meditation. So that was an incredible resource. That gave me the technical understanding of what meditation looks like from the inside out. It, and the reason, the way I found that is because my background is like, I've got, you know, studied a PhD, et cetera, et cetera. And in there, I just looked for the most cited book on meditation, and it is The Illuminated Mind by Kuldasa. So you can check that out. From there, I came to Eckhart Tolle's Power and Now, and that again enforced the present moment, you know, meditation, mindfulness, coming back into the present moment and realizing that depression lives in the past, anxiety lives in the future. And if I can just spend my time here and now, I'm the most resourced version of myself. I'm the happiest version of myself. I'm the richest version of myself, because all I've got is the present moment. So that was actually infusing meditative living into my day to day. That was huge for me. From that point on, I started to evolve more and more and started looking. I became trained by Mindvalley, and that became an awesome community to connect to. They've got a lot of personal development courses at Mindvalley. Vision basically features all these different authors, hypnotherapists, yoga teachers, entrepreneurs, and they build courses around their offerings in the world and bring them to the world. Okay. For Mindvalley, I became their trainer, which actually from that point, let's pause, because at a certain point I'm consuming all this content, and you'll get to a point in your journey, and I'm sure you're probably similar, Lewis, there would have been a point where you've been learning so much and applying so much on yourself that the next part of your evolution is actually learning to support others on their journey, because you can see that actually service is now what I'm being called into, but there's so many blocks in the way. Yeah. And the podcast actually has been my number one vehicle for growth since then, because I've been interviewing all these different people every week, and I've just been growing and growing and growing through the podcast, different conversations, different topics. It's incredible, touch wood, like, you know, just what it does for your mind as well, just like the breadth of expansion that you know, sometimes you're talking to a quantum physicist, and you're talking to a quantum biologist, and you're talking to a Fortune 500 CEO, then you're talking to, you know, a sage and a mystic, and you're like, what is got, like the Gene Keys conversation you reference with Richard Rudd, like he's going super deep on dreams, and we were having that conversation about collective dreaming and how like different dreams emerge at different parts of the night. I was like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, so it's incredible the amount of content that the podcast has brought me. From there, that's then brought me to Mindvalley and all these trainings for Eckhart Tolle, et cetera, just because I was inspired by them. Yeah, so in there, though, one of the things I will say is there is a lot in the personal development space. And I know as I'm rattling things off for you here, it just sounds more and more overwhelming, and it's, you know, inspiring. There are key moments, and we talked about this in the podcast before, and I'm not sure how to really frame this for the audience, but when the podcast came to be, I didn't want to do a podcast. Yeah, I really did. I had no interest in setting up a podcast. I was doing, like you said, every fortnight, for people would come over for a philosophical catch up in my home. Like we'd sit and shoot shit on philosophy, and I was just having the best time. It was like very bohemian. I was having the best night, and people were loving it. They were catching up without alcohol on a fortnightly basis. They kept pushing me to do a podcast. Long story short, when I listened to a few podcasts, I was like, I'm not an expert. This is what all the podcasts are positioning themselves at. Now it's a very different world. Like people, they're exploratory conversations. But, you know, this was 6 years ago where it's like, I'm an expert. Listen to me on this topic. I'm an expert. Listen to me on this topic. It's people positioning themselves as an expert. And that still exists. But for me, it was like, I'm perpetual student, mate. Like I'm not meant to be doing a podcast. Anyway, so my friends kept pushing to a podcast. A mentor appeared to do the podcast. And sometimes this is how these things happen. I realized I was just the limiting belief. I was in the way. The universe had presented me both. Like my friends were like, do it, do it, do it. These conversations are amazing that we're having. Just facilitate them online. I want to share them with my family. And the mentor's like, I'm looking to set up a beta group for podcasting. Like you'd be amazing at it. Let's just do it. And so I woke up 4 a.m. one day, and I just had this knowing, this pulse, this intuitive sort of touch wood, and it was okay, here's my credit card details, bang bang bang, I filled them out, and I just signed up for a podcast, not wanting to do it. Like my active mind, my egoic mind going, what the fuck am I doing? But there was something that was kind of pushing me to sort of say, hey, just get out of your own way. And I sincerely believe if it wasn't 4 a.m in the morning, I never would have done it. Like there was something about it being 4 a.m where it was just, you know, all the defenses were down, I was blurry, I was sleepy, and I just sort of executed on it. And that happens again and again with like Mindvalley becoming their certified trainer and coach. Touch wood. There was so many different things I could get certified in, but yet intuitively something will emerge and it's like, oh, that's right for me. Right. And so it's like, okay, I know that there's something, it's going to be hard, but if I explore it, maybe there's going to be something fruitful on the other side. And I can't explain how you know, but you just know. And that's why this knowing is one of my deepest fascinations. We were talking about in the podcast before. Same thing with Eckhart Tolle's training, same things with becoming a Gene Keys guide. When I was becoming a Gene Keys guide 3 years ago, I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm an engineer, super grounded. Gene Keys is based on astrology. Yeah. Like, that's really what it's based on. I'm Indian, so maybe I can get away with it. But like, I'm like, seriously, dude, you're going into astrology now? Like, yeah. You're going to guide people through their gene keys on astrology? Like, what the fuck? But you kind of just got to trust that this is what the universe is presenting me now. And okay, like, I trust, I surrender, I flow. Let's go, let's see what's on the other side. And the more you exercise that muscle of intuition, touch wood, the stronger it gets. And so that's kind of how I've been discerning what tools are best for me. So I've given you some of what was instrumental on my journey, touch wood. Ultimately, it's meditation and the podcast, but also like how I've become, you know, certified trainers, coaches, guide, Gene Keys guide, and all this sort of stuff. That was very much an intuitive process for, hey, this resonates. I need to explore this more.
I love that. If I know, no disrespect to the people that you're not going to say right now, but if you were to give your top three teachers, so top three healers, teachers, whether it's you've done their courses, you've done their books, maybe they just blew you away on a podcast. What would be if you had to? No disrespect, because like if I, like three come to mind. If I would Demartini, Joe Dispenza, probably say Wayne Dyer would go through.
Yeah,
I know that would be me. But in that Tony Robbins, like he started my journey. I'm like, sorry, Tony. I love you, Tony. But from it, that's just my, if I had to give me my three. But yeah, what would be your top three teachers if you had to give a three? And why? Just obviously short on each of them, because that could be an hour each.
Eckhart Tolle's a pretty obvious one for me. He's just had a massive influence in my life. And that 6 months of coaching was a very surreal experience. But his books. And even the things that I've been able to coin as sort of, you know, like my signature TED talk and stuff like this, and been able to put a pen to paper. It's like all those philosophies have been, yeah, it's almost like when the student's ready, the teacher appears. There's such a kinship in there that it just feels really whole. But I also acknowledge that we're very different. Like he is very Zen, very slow talking. Amrit is like, yeah, like enthusiasm, you know, it's like very different context. But I get a lot from there. Then the next would have to be Sadhguru, I would say. Sadhguru. Have you seen his content online?
Yeah.
Yep. So Sadhguru is a Indian mystic who shares, just a lot of mysticism, but practical, like how it practically applies in your life. And I think that's the right sort of makeup that Amrit has as well, which it was right for me because of the makeup that I've got. Like growing up Indian, I was getting coached just a while ago, and my coach was like, where's spirituality in your top three values? Because I'm connection, contribution, celebration. It's like, where's spirituality? I'm like, connection also means connection to God, bro. And he's like, yeah, but spirituality is probably your highest value. Like, I can see it. It's in everything you do. And I was like, yeah, but I don't even need to mention it. It's in everything I do. Touch it. Like, I don't, you know. He's like, yeah, but you know, some people don't have spirituality as a value. And I was like, he was trying to like just sort of nudge my values and sort of stress test them a little bit. Right. So yeah, it's interesting. But spirituality is a massive value of mine. I grew up Indian, so I just sort of take it for granted. Sadhguru has this ability to sort of take these mystical spiritual concepts and apply them to like, hey, this is how you live your day-to-day life.
Can you spell his name? Sorry, I was just trying to.
S-A-D-H.
S-A-D-H.
G-U-R-U. Yep. So super inspired by his work. And then, yeah, it's a hard one. I'm going to have to, oh man, this is two, three. If I could do four, I'm really inspired by my dad, to be honest. My dad has done he's got his own body of wisdom in there, and he has been my first teacher. And since forever. And I think now that I'm looking in to the response. I'm actually quite surprised that it's so mysticism and spirituality oriented, but all of these people have been profound because they're very mysticism, spirituality oriented, but then like, how does that actually practically help you live a fuller, richer life? And I think as I'm realizing that, because part of me feels devastated that I've left Jordan Peterson off the list. And there's like all this behavioral psychology stuff that sort of trickles down and all this entrepreneurship. Like I would love to mention Alex Hormozy in there, but you know, at the same time, I can't. So you asked for the top three. Those are my top three.
I just had this rock up today as well.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Epic.
Love Alex. Love Alex. Beautiful man. Man, I don't think I've touched on one note that I took down before we started this podcast, which is how most of these podcasts goes anyways. Look, something that I'm passionate about, mental health. It was my pain and pain purpose. I know you have very similar beliefs. And one for me, arguably the biggest one, was just around emotional health, mental health, like family members attempting suicide. My brother, I remember this like it was yesterday. It was a Sunday night. I think I was 23, 24 at the time, and my dad called me and says, your brother's left his death note and he's going to take his own life. And he drove his car into a wall. He's luckily survived. He's here to this day. So depression, anxiety, suicide, myself diagnosed Asperger's, ADHD, autism, etc. I know you've got certain beliefs around depression, like you've got things, and I think they're very similar to me. And I was reading your story before we jumped on this podcast, was my psychologist prescribed me antidepressants while my doctor prescribed me mindfulness. And I'd like to know, I guess, your thoughts and your advice as well around people that are struggling with their mental health, whether it's anxiety specifically or depression specifically, or yeah, just they're struggling with their own mind. What would be your advice, skills, recommendations that they can do something about it?
Yeah, great question. Super deep rabbit hole again, which I love. So one of the key things in there is, as a mental health first aider, which is one of the practical trainings that I've got, is your responsibility the minute you've identified it. And if it's your friend or your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or your uncle or your aunt or anybody that you know, your responsibility ultimately is, in most developed worlds, is to get the person that is struggling to the GP to have a conversation, right? It's literally as simple as that, because you can try to intervene, you can try to interject. Usually your own baggage comes along with the conversation with the people, especially the people that you love. And it just adds logs to the fire. I found it's not the most supportive way to go about it. It's like, hey, can I get you to the GP? And that in itself sounds super simple. It can be so hard, right? But that's the key sort of straight out of the gate thing that, you know, you need to do as a practical tool. Take my story, for example. Like I, some grace of God, even as a young adolescent man, I knew something was wrong, and I still don't know how I ended up at the GP, but I ended up at the GP. I actually think, if I look back, I'm not 100% sure if this, maybe it was just one of the many data points, but I remember seeing an advert on the side of a bus saying, depressed, contact your local GP. And it, like, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't happen. It's just a memory in the back of my head that I have, and I'm just sharing it with you now, touch wood. But yeah, so those points are like the key thing is to go get it checked out, and just have a conversation. The GP has a list of questionnaires and is like, hey, are you feeling like this? And it's pretty basic. It's like, are you grinding your teeth? Do you salivate a lot? Do you do you find yourself? And it's a basic questionnaire. It's not super confronting. You just go in and you just have a basic sort of chat, and they sort of have a chat to you. And then from there, they can put together a bit of a mental health plan if so required. I'm going to say my truth around it. And I'm going to also, before I even dive into it, put a massive asterisk in the way, because I've worked with over 260 people now, one-on-one life coaching, super deep journeys, most of them for year-long journeys. And the story in my heart is that your health is your purpose and your purpose is your health. And that if you are living on track with your purpose, it's very difficult actually to have negative mental health, right? But there is an asterisk in there. There are some people that have a chemical imbalance that probably medication will support them with, yeah. Right? I've had quite an interesting experience myself where I remember taking my first medication way back when I got diagnosed, and it was like taking MDMA. It was like taking ecstasy. It was like I was in this massive high, and then all of a sudden it was just like, whoa, like I don't want to live my life going up and down, up and down, up and down. So I literally just threw all the pills in the bin, and I was like, and I was glad I had that, like, by some grace of God, I had that mindfulness tool. But one of the things I will say is, subsequent years, I had a skin condition for which I was prescribed a nerve sensitizing medication, which actually accidentally also doubles as an antidepressant. And I remember taking it and going, this is really interesting. I feel very buffered from reality. And I was only on it for like a month and a half because of the skin condition that I had at the time. Thank God it's gone. But I look back and I was like, actually, I could see how this can be really supportive for some people through a certain period of time if it was used as a tool and not a crutch, right? Because it buffers you. But the thing to note is, it not only buffers you from negative emotion, it also buffers you from positive emotion. So you live in this real padded, insulated space, which, yeah, I don't think that's living to its fullest at all. And you know, it's somewhat sad as an existence as well, if that's your long-term existence, I would sort of say. I know it's probably unfair to some people that are, you know, relying on these tools to get through, but my invitation would be to see what it's like beyond it, again, with the asterisks that, you know, if you need it for the chemical imbalances, you do. All of that to sort of get the caveat out of the way now, to sort of say my finding has been, you know, that your health is your purpose. So I found, just with my own journey, I was depressed, I was gutted, I was down and out when I wasn't living in alignment for the reason that I was here. You are the universe looking in on yourself. You've got curiosity points, you've got passions to cultivate, you've got one life as this conscious being. Maybe you come back, maybe you don't. No one knows. Who knows? Some people know, some people don't, right? So if whatever that is, you've got the opportunity to cultivate your passions. If you start to just overfill the cup with these passions and this joy and this enthusiasm and this acceptance, all of a sudden people start to pick up on things and you can start to serve them, and now you're on purpose. When you start doing that, it's like, it's beyond miraculous. It feels like it's not right. Like, work becomes play. You start looking around, touch when you go, shit, like, I can actually live life like this. Like, podcasting is, having these conversations with Lewis is like, this is my business in life. Like, what the, huh? Like, I'm just having a great chat with a mate. I can swap seas with him. He can come on, have a chat. We can have a great conversation. And this is part of the business. What do you mean business? It feels like play. So then it starts to get really exciting. You wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I can't wait. Who am I having a chat with today? Oh, I can't wait. Who am I coaching today? What are we exploring? What are we expounding? Now, that took some conscious creation at my end, but ultimately, I felt the friction at a certain point because I wasn't in alignment, and that was my depression. I couldn't express my truest self. I couldn't express my spiritual self, the spiritual reason I'm here. And so I was depressed. I was blocked. I was like coming in on myself, doing this thing that society, mainstream media, everything was telling you to do as a functioning member of society, right? And in some ways, you've got to embrace your crazy and just go, hey, like, Amrit is, welcome to the Inspired Evolution podcast, right? And everyone's like, why do you make that sound? And it's like, gives me permission to be me, right?
I
And
like
now,
that.
touch wood, there's value in it. So there is this whole story around finding your creative self, finding what you're curious about, cultivating your passions, living your purpose, because when you do that, life feels fuller, life feels richer. And honestly, just the last little bit I'll add in there, now that I'm a dad, touch wood, I look at how important it is for me to role model that sort of existence out for my son, for him to be able to know that you don't have to live a life of quiet dreams, suffering, you know, just dying. You know, like they say, in some ways, the graveyard is the richest place because it's full of all these dreams of people that are gone, you know, like, and giving him the opportunity to witness that, hey, like, whether we succeed or not in executing upon our dreams, I cultivated my passions and I've tried to fulfill my purpose in my time here.
Man, I know we're coming towards the end, so there's a couple of ones I'd like to sneak in here.
I'll try
Just
and keep
based
them
on that,
concise.
man, what is your dream? What's the dream for you?
Ultimately, the Inspired Evolution is, I don't know how this actually works, and it's bigger than me, but there's a sentiment in my heart against this, a knowing, right? Where human beings are actually a net positive for the planet. Yeah, like, our existence is actually supporting nature and everything that's happening. I know it's very left-wing sounding, but we're also really good to each other as well, and economically it all works and all adds up. So there's a, like, more than a sustainable future, there's a regenerative future ahead for us. That's the short answer.
I love that, man. I really love that. Man, there's one more question after I get you to share your stuff that I always do with my guests, but where can people find you if they want to connect with you? I know we've we've referenced the podcast a couple of times, but if someone wants to do some work with you, they want to dive down your rabbit hole, they want to consume your content, they want to connect with you, where's the best place?
Yeah, absolutely. So YouTube is the home of the Inspired Evolution podcast. So absolutely check it out, subscribe there. If you are interested in coaching, my gentle nudge these days has been, hey, check out one of the testimonials on the YouTube page. If you go to the YouTube page, you'll find like the 60 odd testimonials there of people that have gone through coaching with me. And if those transformations sort of speak to you, below them, you'll find a little link, which is like, hey, book into a strategy call with me and we can sort of see if the one call is enough for you to sort of shift, or if, you know, you need to go on a journey, either or, sign up. I love having these chats, as you can tell. And that's the place to go. If you want to understand the website a little bit better, there's amrit.coach, inspiredevolution.com, amrit.coach for coaching, inspiredevolution.com for all things speaking and podcasting.
I love it, man. Final question to wrap this up. What is something that you are working through right now personally that the world doesn't get to see?
It's mostly fatherhood stuff. Yeah. Becoming a becoming a dad has been a massive initiation. And I think as men in modern society, we're stripped of rites of passage, consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was by intentional design, by some societal overlords, which I think is not the case. I think society, as its natural progression, has just been looking for more comfort and convenience. And now we're in a state where we don't have to do some of these barbaric, it seems from the outside, rites of passages. But one of the issues with that is you've got, yeah, Peter Pan syndrome ultimately, right? Which is you've got grown boys and not real men. You know, and that sounds very judgmental, but I've just been noticing, I'll say it this way, sorry for saying, you know, real men and boys, but, you know, very judgment sounding. It's not what I wanted to come across. But in there, what I've noticed is as my wife gave birth, my humble perspective was she went in a girl and she came out a woman. Like, she let go of every, and how much emotion, like, you know, we can talk energetics, how much emotional energy you have in your hips, bro, right? And like, that is like giving way, parting for birth, like life to come through. You know, back in the days, women didn't know, like, birthing could have been like, you know, an opportunity for them to potentially pass on, like they may not have even survived it. Like, it's very confronting. It was huge for her. Like, she remembers, I remember her reciting to me that, like, she knew she could get through it at a certain point because women all over the world were doing this all the time. And she collected into that, women all over the world, like women mothers, she connected into that collective field of motherhood and then came back and she, like, got the rewards of that, which was like, this is my baby. Meanwhile, I've been, you know, modern age man, I'm like doulaing her to some degree to the best of my ability, holding space to the best of my ability, but I'm going through this, she's gone through this chemical, hormonal, like, cocktail and transformed. She's gone through a rite of passage. For me, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay. And the last 2 years of my son coming through has been this gradual rite of passage that I've been going through, learning to step into greater and greater levels of responsibility, right? Learning to be, you know, and being a father actually is a lot more about being a husband than it is being a dad, I would say. My relationship with my wife has changed significantly. Yeah. So that's been a massive initiation. And that's something I'm working on every day. What you don't get to see is previously, prior to having a kid, Amrit was all about, you know, yes, we all have our challenges and therapy is totally worth it, but I'm a coach. Let's focus on where we're going. Focus on your future. Let's go. And absolutely, there are bits that are holding you back. So let's unpick them in therapy and just focus on the light, keep going forward. But as a parent, you start to lose a lot of sleep. Your defenses are kind of down and your shadows just creep up. The wall of resilience has just come down. So your shadows just pop over. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're limited in like bandwidth, and you're just like sort of time press, time pause. So you're not stopping for kindness and interactions and the way you want in the gestures. And as your shadows start to come up, you start to realize, oh, I need to do my shadow work. I need to do my inner work. right? Or I could just be that dad that's angry and grumpy all the time and model that for my son, or I could use this as an opportunity, right? And so that's been the piece that no one really gets to see. Touchwood, great question, bro. Working on all those shadows so I can learn to model, touchwood, what I would ideally want for my son to model, like want from his father.
I love that. Thank you, my man. This has been a beautiful conversation. I knew it would be. So this is beautiful. Thank you for everything that you do in your mission, that you've done today for my mission and for the people that are listening to this. And God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Brother, it is my absolute pleasure. I love who you are and what you do in the world and just the transparency and the eloquence with which you do it, man. It has been my absolute pleasure. It's been one of my favorite podcasts ever. Thank you so much for having me, bro.
Thank you. Bye.